It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. Deliverance is available. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. As our broadcast comes to you this evening, Christmas is but a distant memory. A new year is upon us with all its hopes and uncertainties. Yet, the message of Christmas endures. Joy to the world! The Lord is come! Hope and everlasting peace from above came to the earth on that day we celebrate at this time of year in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God is with us. Pastor Brian Grant will conclude his message explaining, from God's Word, three reasons why the message of Christmas so endures, even in our troubled world of today. Here again is Pastor Grant with part two of The Hope of Christmas.
First, the promise of hope. But second, the provision of hope. 4,000 years had passed, and God's promised Savior had still not arrived. But it was now time. In Luke 2, the time had come. Turn back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and let's read up the first 7 verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census, they were doing all this because they had a plan to taxes. It was taxes coming. So everybody had to get registered because the government wanted taxes. The census first took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went down to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Isn't that amazing? Are you aware how God can orchestrate the events of the world? God, you think that we are in control and these politicians? God orchestrates the politics of the day. And so the emperor decrees that everybody has to go to their town. As a result, Joseph and Mary ends up in Bethlehem. And what do you know about Bethlehem from the Old Testament? We just read it. Micah had prophesied that the Savior was to be born in Bethlehem. By God orchestrating politics of the day, Joseph and Mary ends exactly where God said they should more babies to be born. Isn't God something? I'm picking up verse 5. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Write this down. God promised to send a Savior. 4,000 years had passed, but God was now carrying out his plan. God promised to send a Savior. And write this down. The incarnation took place exactly on God's timetable. Not a minute early, not a day late. The word incarnation, by the way, in case you're saying, is that word in the Bible? The word incarnation is not in the Bible, but is an important word that is used to describe the fact that Jesus Christ, God the Son, took on human flesh. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Listen, Jesus Christ was not a spirit. Jesus Christ was literal flesh. He was human like us, but with no earthly father. No sin, no earthly father, no human blood. In other words, it was not blood that he inherited from his father. He had blood, but it was not the blood that was tainted by his father. God miraculously gave him flesh, and blood, just like we have human blood, but not. So let me just correct that to say he did have blood, but not tainted, sinful blood that would have come from his father, because this is how all of us get our blood through our dads. You know, about 50 years ago, Queen Elizabeth II, the late Queen Elizabeth II, visited Jamaica. And I tell you, the whole country was abuzz. The roads on the royal route were repaved. Poor little country, we repaving everything just because the Queen was coming. And we packed. Everybody was there. Excited throngs of people were on the streets. And of course, all of us were properly, all the children were, our shoes were properly shined. And after a long wait, the police outriders appeared on motorbikes, followed by the Rolls Royce carrying Her Majesty, Her Royal Highness, Queen Elizabeth II. Crowds around, you can imagine the tumultuous applause she got as we gave her, Jamaica gave her a welcome befitting royalty. But when Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, appeared in Bethlehem, there was no royal welcome. The Bible here tells us that he was born in a stable. And for those of you who don't know what a stable, sometimes we glamorize a stable, but a stable is a cold, dingy cave. There's nothing glamorous about it. It's a cave. And he was put to rest in a manger, which is an animal's feeding trough that's usually made out of stone. None of these things were glamorous. God had provided a savior, but there was no room for him in the inn. You know, the world may have overlooked his arrival. But stay with me now, stay with me. But heaven did not overlook the arrival of this special baby. Heaven did not overlook the arrival of the Savior. God had delivered on his promise to send us a Savior, and that night heaven put on a show, the likes of which the world has never ever seen. Oh, you know, sometimes we like to go and we watch all these such and such spectacular. But that night, heaven put on a show, the likes of which this world has never ever seen. Sometimes we miss that part. Look at what Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verse 8 tells us. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." This must have been mind-blowing. The promised Savior was born in Bethlehem, just as Micah had prophesied. Don't miss this. And you know, one of the things that, as I was reading this week, one of the things that struck me for the first time, it struck me that shepherds were some of the toughest men around. Shepherds live with danger. Am I right about that? Shepherds live with danger. And what was happening that night was so awesome that these hard-nosed shepherds, who are so accustomed to be with danger, they were terrified out of their pants. I could have used another word. Just imagine. These men were surrounded by the glory of God. And they were told the best news the world had ever heard. These guys were scared out of their wits, to their wits' end, because of the incredible scene that they saw, the glory of God. Do we have any idea what it's like? We absolutely don't, but hallelujah, one day we'll see the glory of God, amen, because we will be with him. Look again with me at verses 10 to 11 in this passage. It says here, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This message is for everybody. It doesn't matter what you have done, young person, older person. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, sometimes people got little deals going on and it's just for them and their cronies. But God is telling us that this message is a message for everyone. To everybody can cash in on this. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know, one of the things that is interesting, sometimes I run into individuals who have such a humble life. People sometimes look down on them and they look down. Sometimes they're not so assured of themselves. But I just think it's amazing who God appears to. He appears to the who? The shepherds. The shepherds are among the lowliest occupation in Israel. The shepherds are generally regarded as unclean people. They are among, quote unquote, the last, the least, and the lowest. And this is whom God appears to. And there's a message there for you and I, that no matter who you are, or what you may think of yourself, or how people may turn up their noses at you, I want you to know that the Son of God has come with you in mind. Amen. He has come with you in mind. And today, young person, older person, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done, deliverance is available. Amen. A Savior has come. The promise of hope, the provision of hope, but finally, the price of hope. The price of hope. Verse 34 reads this. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As Simeon held baby Jesus in his arms, he said something very significant. Write this down if you would. Simeon prophesied that the baby would eventually be crucified, and that as Mary watched the mob crucifying her son, a sword would pierce through her soul. You see, there is a price. For us to be saved, a price had to be paid. There is a price for hope. You know, it's interesting. Stay with me now. I'm almost done. It's interesting that God chose to send our Savior at the time when crucifixion was being practiced. Have you ever stopped to think about that? If God was planning to send a Savior, why not send him now? When the worst that would happen, he'd get the electric chair. God chose to send Jesus at the time when the Romans had created the most brutal method of execution, so that Jesus Christ, who had come to save you and to save me, could endure the most brutal death possible. Let me tell you, it just struck me last night, and I said, wow, I am so glad Jesus loves me so much that he was willing to die the most brutal death for me. Are you glad about that? Are you glad that God loves you so much that he was willing to put his son through the most brutal torture to provide our salvation? God had declared. Some people say, why did he have to die? So why is Simeon predicting that this is going to happen and that poor Mary, a sword is going to pierce through her soul? Why is God doing this to this little woman who, after he has done so much for her, why is he doing that? God had declared that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And way back, if you take the time to read it, way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, God indicated how sin was to be covered. Because when man sinned in Genesis 3:21, God slay an animal so the animal's blood could be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. There can be no remission of sin. And so for centuries, animals were sacrificed. But no animal, no matter how many thousands and thousands of animals they sacrificed, no animal could fully atone for our sin. And in order to secure our eternal hope, you can put this on the screen. So to secure our eternal hope, the ultimate sacrifice was required. This sinless, omnipotent Son of God had to die for us. Amen. This sinless, omnipotent, we needed a Savior who had enough power. We needed a Savior whose work was so efficacious, it could cover the sins of the entire world. And so 33 years after Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, Jesus was taken to Calvary. And on that first Good Friday, Jesus was crucified for you and for me. And my friend, I want you to know this morning you are here just to celebrate Christmas. But I want you to realize that the whole issue of Christmas was the cross. You see, Jesus had come. The price of Christmas. There was a price that had to be paid. Jesus was God's a fulfillment of a promise God made in Genesis chapter 3. I hope you're getting the point. It's a promise God made in Genesis chapter 3. And God promised to save us. And here it is. Hallelujah. Jesus came with the one plan, the one mission, to save you and to save me. And no matter what you have done, hallelujah, there is never a sinner so far from God, but Jesus can't bring him home. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you are. Salvation is available today because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from what? From all sin. Hallelujah for the cross. This morning, my friend, this morning, salvation is available. There's some of you who have been holding out. Oh, some of you have heard this message over and over. But yet you're not saved. Jesus died for you. My friend, I want you to realize that if you were the only one, Jesus would have endured that crucifixion just for you. And today he calls you. He calls your name. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment or two to say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. You know, you may not have liked Michael Jackson's lifestyle. But there was no doubt he was a musical genius. You know, one of the songs that still resonates with many is this song, Man in the Mirror. Anybody ever heard that song? No, don't go on like you just born yesterday or you were saved from you were born. The Man in the Mirror. You know, it's a single he produced in 1988. I think it won the record of the year. Let me remind you some of the words. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. Who do you think that is? Who is the man in the mirror? The person singing. You are the one in the mirror. Michael Jackson, because by the way, I understand as I did some reading that most of those who know him well said that this was like his anthem. Michael Jackson was the man in the mirror. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a blessed, a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. This is. Are you ready? Michael Jackson wanted to make some changes in his life. But no matter how hard he tried, he could not. For although we can, you know, there are some things in our lives we've been able to overcome on our own. Let me let you into a secret. There is none of us that has the power to overcome the power of sin in our lives. You may be able to change a few things. There's some of you here listening and you know I'm telling the truth. There's some stuff in your life that you wish you had the power to change. But like the rest of us, there are some things we do not have the power to change. Michael Jackson wanted to change. But he did not have the power to change. Jesus died. And through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, Christian, a born-again Christian, has the power to change. And this Christmas, God is saying, it's time for a change. But there's somebody here this morning, perhaps one time you were walking, you're backslidden, I don't know your story. Perhaps you've never ever come to Jesus. Jesus, the hope of Christmas. Today, God wants to give you a brand new life. Young lady, young man, older person, a brand new life. It can begin right now if you open your heart to Jesus. Will you do that right now?